the Graveyard Menace.
Everybody, welcome to yet another edition of the Graveyard Podcast. My name is Paul Brooks. I'm the director of the film and the host of the show. Well, another day of shooting, another episode of the show. I have two very interesting guests on the show tonight. Mr. Thomas A. Jackson is on the show. Tom, welcome.
Thank you, Paul. Always great to work with you.
You as well, sir. And Artemio Gonzalez is on the program as well. Welcome, Artemio.
Thank you, sir, very much. I appreciate
it. Absolutely. Why don't you guys tell the podcast audience a little bit about who you play in the Graveyard Menace?
I'll let you start.
Well, I'll play Detective Ortiz. Detective Ortiz is a very interesting guy. He is a funny guy. He knows how to go get along with his partner here, Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
I sure had a lot of fun today filming, shooting today, the way it seems.
Cool.
A lot of fun.
Cool, man.
And I play Detective Thomas. I play a cop. It seems to be the look. I tend to either play thugs or cops because I'm bald, middle-aged, and have kind of a scary face. Being able to work with Artemio fulfills a dream, at least very close to it, to be... Angel's partner from the TV show Dexter, because his wardrobe and general appearance is very much close to it. Last time I was in a movie with a character named Ortiz, I did kill him, but in this case, I promise that is not going to happen.
I hope not. I would hope not. Do you get that, Artemio? Because I've heard a couple different people compare you to that actor and that character.
This is the second time, because one of my coworkers really, after he saw my headshot on Facebook, He compared me to Dexter, and I was just wondering who he was, because I didn't even know who he was till I went and I Googled him, and I found out who he was, and I was surprised. I did look a little bit alike.
Yeah.
Especially in the hat. It's uncanny.
I had no idea. We met Artemio at the casting call that we had for the film, and me and Chase just both felt that he had a great look. He auditioned for the detective role, and we said, wow, I mean, definitely an interesting look and brings an interesting presence to the role. So, but there was no, I've never seen Dexter, so that was completely,
really?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Well, he's that's such a great show. David Zayas is the actor who plays Angel, and right down to the wardrobe, amazing. I mean, aside from the kind of aloha and Miami style shirts. Artemio's wardrobe is very, very similar.
That's funny. Talk a little bit about exactly what your character's role is in the movie. What do you guys do in the movie?
Well, we're investigating the appearance of some strange monster and the disappearance of a young lady. Eventually in this movie, don't want to give too much away at this point,
sure.
But yeah, we're investigating the odd occurrences that seem to lead us down the trail of the Graveyard Menace.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention that we're still trying to find the disappearance of Frankie, one of the characters in the movie, and that's when we come in and we're trying to investigate and try to find what happened to Frankie, the character, with his buddy Chewie. Chewie is another great actor that I got the chance to work with, a Latino.
Mm-hmm.
We're sticking it together.
We got all sorts of different flavors in this movie.
Right on.
We're shooting a scene with you guys in just a little bit here. It'll actually be your last scene in the movie. And there's a female reporter in the scene, and she is Chinese. And I think with her being in the movie, that might actually cover just about every different race, creed, and color you can possibly imagine. I think we covered the entire... We ran the board.
Wow.
So we're pretty excited about that. I want to ask you guys as actors, because Tom, I know that you've been in a lot of different movies, a lot of plays, and Artemio, you as well. You do a lot of theater,
right? I do a lot of theater, but most of it right now is in Spanish comedy. I've been doing it for a while already. So next time we're gonna be doing our show, it's gonna be like in January 2013. Hopefully, I'll see a lot of my friends there to support me and the group I'm in with.
Cool. What's the name of the show?
The name of the show is Tiempos de Carpas. It means the time of carps. When there was not really no theater out there, people would do their theater act inside like a tarp. And they would put some benches, wooden benches, and nothing to like lean against their back or anything like that. So this is what this play is about. So they're bringing back a lot of different characters. They started as theater, and now they made history, and they made it into TV, into big screen, little screens, and it's just all history. They're already, most of them already gone from this planet.
Cool. Sounds fun. Sounds interesting.
I need to brush up on my Espanol so I can actually go to these and be able to understand it as it's being performed.
Well, actually, you don't really need to, it is important to know, for you to know what we're saying, but will you also catch up to the show by the way we do with their signs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Not a hand signal thing kind of way, but just the action, the things that we do that it makes people laugh.
It's very visible.
It is very visible.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I want to ask you guys, though, and Tom, I'll start with you. How do you prepare for a role when you get a script and you see the character that you're going to be playing? What sort of things do you do in terms of acting to get ready?
Well, for example, in this case, we're dealing with a couple of detectives. In a long ago past life, I hear, when I first started after college, I was actually a newspaper reporter. I had the police beat. You kind of draw on the attitudes and what you saw is the relationships between the police detectives that I dealt with at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful as well. You know, you might have some influence by what you've seen on other TV shows and movies. You want to be careful about not drawing too much from that. Don't want to be too derivative, but you do see things that work, things that don't. You know, the certain, how close the characters are on the TV shows. It's got to be more interesting because I know, quite honestly, a lot of police work in the real world is kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you got to take what you see that is the best of reality, what is best out of what is the entertainment version of police work,
right,
and try to make it all work cohesively and work with what the director wants, as you know, so.
Yes. Artemio, what about you? What do you do to get ready for a particular role?
What I do, first of all, this is my first time I ever playing an officer, detective.
Mm-hmm.
Like Thomas said, they always use me to play a thug, a bad guy, a killer. But this time I was really surprised that I got picked to play a detective. So my way is just that I just go the opposite. The way I used to act like a thug, I try to be the opposite of that thug. And I just follow the directions of the script, directions of the director, and I just put my own kind of juice into it.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that there's a big difference between when you're acting on film and when you're on the stage? I pretty much everyone that I talk to tells me that there's a tremendous difference.
Yeah, big time.
There's tremendous difference between the movie and theater. Theater, you don't get no chances. If you messed up, you got to keep on going and not let that audience know that you messed up. But as the behind the scenes, I mean, whenever you're doing a movie, if somebody messes up, they'll cut and you go back to it and you can do it again. Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Another big thing is because of how close up we can get, and with high def and all that, and with the microphones, you don't have to play big.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk this quietly, and it can come across. movie I did last year that's now on the festival circuit called Spades with John Wesley Norton.
Sure.
My character spoke at an extremely low level the entire time.
You know, I was wondering about that because I've seen the trailer, and you're in the trailer for that film a lot, but you don't say anything in the trailer that I was aware of. So that's the sort of thing what's going on with that character is he's just sort of, he doesn't really say much.
He does a lot of watching early on. But it's all in the reaction, all in the little raise of an eyebrow, stuff like that, which is you can't really pull off when you're on a stage.
Yeah, and you know, I've seen some actors who have trouble making that transition where they're more maybe used to theater. Mm-hmm. And then they get in front of a camera and their facial expressions and their acting is just too over the top because that's what they're used to. So it is sort of an interesting, you know, adjustment that you have to make when you're in front of the camera to take it down a couple notches, because it's really interesting to me, even when you see something in person. Sometimes I'll be watching, you know, something being shot or I'll be shooting something myself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you even get it into the editing room and it looks different there than it did when you were actually watching it in person. So there's a lot of different layers going on, basically.
Absolutely.
What got you guys into acting in the first place? What is it about the craft of acting that originally attracted you to getting involved with it?
In my mind, it never crossed my mind. I never thought I was going to be doing anything like I'm doing right now. It's just, I go back a long time ago when I was walking with my girlfriend. She is my wife now. We're walking down the street and then somebody approached us and they asked my wife and me, well, she was my girlfriend, you guys want to be in the movie as extras? And I was just, yeah, right. And then and I told my wife, well, we'll pay you $50 if you want to be in a part of a movie. And then she said, yeah. So I had to agree because she was my girlfriend. So that's when I started as an extra. So they told us, we're gonna call you like in a month. So you be ready for. We're gonna call you so you could be in the movie. So they called me before the month, and they asked me that the director wanted to see somebody to play the right arm to one of the main actors in the movie. So I went, and I went with like 10 different people, and there were some bigger guys, tougher guys than me, older than me. Back then I was like 18 years old. So I got picked to be the right arm to Stephen Barr from the movie Primal Fear.
Nice. Oh, wow.
And that's when I started. And I started as the... I got a good role in that movie.
That's awesome.
That right arm. And then it just... Every time that I used to go to the movies and I used to see a trailer of a movie, it was something inside me that wanted to come on and say, I want to do that. And that's where I started.
That's... Not the answer that I expected, but I like it a lot. You sort of fell into it, basically.
I fell into it, basically, Dan.
Tom, what about you?
Well, I always kind of was theatrically inclined when I was younger in high school, and did it probably, I think, my sophomore year in college. Then I stopped. I wound up being in a couple of other musicals after that, before I graduated from college at some local community theater. Basically didn't do anything until, I did one play after that, another local community thing, but nothing until about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Started taking an acting class in the Bloomington Normal area that led to, meeting you for one, led to also being called up to be in some movies as an extra. Got pulled out to be a little more of a slightly larger role in that situation, and then made my own film, and that was again about 10 years ago or so. And just found that the more people I met who were making movies, the more I got involved. Wound up whether I got asked to come down and audition or was simply cast in parts that friends had written. That's kind of how it went. And right now, this and baseball are my two big extracurriculars.
You're a big baseball guy.
I love baseball. I still play baseball,
yes.
Like hardball. None of the softball stuff. I play in an old man baseball league. Just played for the championship a couple of weeks ago. We lost.
Oh,
And it was my only offer for the entire season, which was upsetting. Finished the season batting .438, which was the highest I've had in this old man league. But the disappointing thing is that I had been hitting more than 500 most of the year, and then I kind of trailed off at the end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
what did you guys? I want to go back a little bit more to some stuff about the Graveyard Menace before before we wrap it up here.
Sure.
Artemio, you got just a portion of the script when you were at the casting call. What was your feeling when you sat down to read the full script for the Graveyard Menace for the first time? What were your thoughts on, you know, the some of the stuff that goes on in the movie?
When I first went to audition for this movie, I never thought that it was going to be this big.
Right.
As it was well written by the writer. And it just blew my mind when I read the whole script, how everything was going to be. It's just something I never imagined.
There's a lot going on in it.
It's a lot going on in it.
A lot of characters.
A lot of different characters and races, like you said. And yeah. I'm just glad. I'm happy. Thank you very much, Paul, that I'm part of it.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate.
Absolutely. Like I said, I mean, you know, casting for me is really interesting. This was the first casting call that I'd ever been a part of, was for this movie. And you just get a vibe. A lot of times, even before somebody walks in a room, we had a room and we could see people coming in before they actually got in. And I'm telling you, when Joanna Ortiz walked in, who's playing Sheena in the film, me and Chase just instantly, there's just a vibe that gets put in the air. And we had the same thing with you.
Wow.
When you walked in, it was like, wow, dude, check out this guy, you know, like, because you get some people who come in there and it's not like that, you know. So there's a certain amount of, it's just like any relationship, there's a certain chemistry involved, you know.
Right.
So it's really interesting. Tom, what did you think when you read the script?
Well, I was delighted that you asked me to do it, and I said, yeah, hell, that sounds like fun, especially since the idea of playing a cop and playing I had a Hispanic partner, which, again, I wanted to, I was looking like I was going to fulfill my fantasy to work with Detective Batista. I realized that when we were doing this, and I knew when we were going to do the interrogation scene with Chewy, how much fun it was going to be. It wound up being even more fun because we kind of played off each other so nicely, I thought, Artemio and I, and took what was gonna was already a fun scene and just made it rip. I had a great time with that. Basically, that whole first day when we first started shooting, I thought the chemistry, I felt like this guy was a partner of mine for a long time.
And let me tell as a director, that's very nice, you know, to be able to see that. So guys, like I said, it's your last day of shooting, and Tom, I wanted to apologize to you because you're not gonna get to do any scenes with Heather Dorff, so I'm very sorry.
Oh, Heather. I love Heather. She's great. Saw her a couple of weeks ago in another movie that I'm doing with John Wesley Norton. That was Party of the Dead.
Oh, yeah. I saw some stills on Facebook.
And you saw me in with really bad complexion.
I don't even know if I recognized you. I didn't know you were in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll show you. I'm wearing, I'm in full zombie makeup and wearing desert fatigues.
Well, but you were in the scene with her in that one?
I was not in any scenes with her directly, but I spent a lot of time hanging out with her because she's in a few other scenes, and I'm in others where I, at one point, literally take apart Syndulé.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I was eating her guts.
Interesting.
And, yeah. It actually consisted of, it was roast beef and gauze and fake blood.
Sounds about right.
And it was very late at night, and I was very tired, and frankly didn't quite have the stomach for eating the roast beef that was soaked in the fake blood, so I was chewing on the gauze. That's the photo.
Okay, I saw the photo, and I didn't even realize that it was me.
Yeah, it's scary. People were asking me, were you wearing contact lenses? No, those are just my crazy gray eyes. I kind of have a dead color in my eyes as it is.
But basically, you and Heather spend a lot of time in movies together, just not always in the same scenes.
We've been in a couple. In fact, the scene where I killed the other Ortiz, she is literally on the other side of Mr. Ortiz as I am stabbing him repeatedly.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure you'll get to hang out with her a little bit more when the movie is finished at the premiere.
Most definitely. She's a sweetheart. Yes. Very, very talented actress, writer and producer.
Yes.
And a lot of fun to hang out with.
Absolutely. We just had the cops go by, which is not a surprise.
Hey, we're on the same team here. We're detectives. Yeah. Are you an officer?
Yeah, so.
So we'll wrap up here. But guys, thanks for being on the show.
Absolutely.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And thanks for being in the movie.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And hopefully we'll see you at the premiere, right?
Yes.
I certainly hope so.
Awesome.
Can't wait.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time on the Graveyard Podcast. For the latest updates and more information on the Graveyard Menace, check out facebook.com/thegraveyardmenace. You can also follow us on Twitter @GraveyardMenace and check out our Tumblr page, thegraveyardmenace.tumblr.com. If you want to talk to me, I'm Paul, the director of the film. You can email me at thegraveyardmenace@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to the Graveyard Podcast.